say in the past, and I'll probably say it several times in the future, is the fact that I don't believe in coincidences. We are in a war. It's a spiritual war, and I believe that just about everything that happens in some way is connected to it. The Apostle John alluded to it when he wrote in 1 John 5, verse 19, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." It started on earth in the garden. It's progressed throughout the centuries. It intensified during the Clinton and the Obama administrations, and today under the Biden administration, it appears to be approaching what could be its highest point. A while back, we did a series based on several of the Old Testament books that emphasize the point about learning from the past. When a person or a nation doesn't learn from the past, there's the tendency to repeat the mistakes of the past. This was the case with Israel. The book of Judges marked a very dark time in the history of the nation, but all that began to change under the prophet Samuel. It was under Samuel's ministry that God brought David into the picture. David was the greatest king who ruled the nation. David was a great man of faith. He fought many wars, and God gave David victory after victory until all of Israel's enemies had been subdued. Now that left the nation standing on a solid foundation of peace and prosperity. When David's son Solomon took over the throne, all he had to do was maintain the status quo, and Solomon had a good start. But somewhere along the line, the wheels began to come off, so to speak. Because of Solomon's sin, after his death, the nation became divided. In spite of God's warnings and repeated calls to repentance, most of the kings who ruled over both kingdoms were bad kings who practiced evil and brought both kingdoms to ruin. Fast forward approximately 2,300 years to the inception of America. Our founding fathers were God-fearing men who stood on biblical truths. Therefore, even in spite of the conflicts America encountered, God prospered this nation. But to reiterate the point, somewhere along the line, the wheels began to come off. What went wrong? Well, the answer to that question has to do with spiritual warfare. You ever notice how often the Bible gives us commands such as be alert, sober-minded, awake, ready, watchful, or many other similar types of commands? I came across 88 verses that fit the category, but I would be willing to bet that there are a lot more than that. Now, why do you think the Bible repeats itself so many times in that area? Well, the answer has to do with spiritual warfare. The battle is for the soul, and many have been taken captive. Why did it happen? Because America hasn't learned from the past. For many decades now, America has been making the same mistakes that brought the nation Israel to destruction. Look at what Moses told the younger generation before entering Canaan in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 65. "Among those nations you shall find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life." Those conditions would occur if Israel disobeyed God, and they did. Today, America is on the same path. Israel turned her back on God and worshiped false gods. Today, America worships false gods as well, the gods of secularism, materialism. Israel failed to separate from the nations. That led to child sacrifice. America has been practicing child sacrifice for many years now. This practice reached its highest point under the Biden administration, and Biden and Harris were working to take it to the next level. They allowed filth and scum, every form of evil, to be taught in our public schools, and many school boards across the nation aren't doing anything about it. The goal of Biden and Harris is to allow transgender males to participate in female sports and occupy female places of privacy. Their objective is to break down and destroy all safeguards, the greatest of which is Christianity. You destroy Christianity, and all hell will break loose across the planet. Paul alluded to that in his second letter to the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians were a little unnerved because they thought that they were living in the day of the Lord. Now, there's a time of lawlessness coming upon this earth, much worse than that which exists today, but it's not here yet. And Paul tells us why in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Paul made it clear to the Thessalonians that lawlessness was present in their day, as it is today. But the lawlessness to come is being restrained. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit who indwells every Christian. But the restrainer will be removed with the rapture of the church. After that, I pity anyone who's left on the face of the earth. It'll be a time of unprecedented, literal hell. It'll be a time of great wrath. But where did it all begin? Well, let's trace it back. Look at how Solomon put it in Ecclesiastes 10, starting in verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, like an error which goes forth from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses, and princes walking like slaves on the land. That passage speaks of weak leadership, fools in high places. America has had its fools in high places for the last 4 years, opening the door to a still greater evil, a still greater fool, I should say. Qualified leaders function from a position of strength, but fools can be controlled by powerful people with agendas. And the result is disorder in every evil thing. As we've seen in current policies such as LGBTQ agenda, critical race theory, abortion, transgenderism, the attack on marriage, anti-Christian policies, attacks against children in our educational system, along with the recent wave of anti-Semitism that spread throughout our nation in a short time. But these events, along with weak leaders, are not the causes. They're just the effects of a greater evil. One that existed centuries ago in the ancient world. We did a series on it, probably, I think, about 2 years ago, called The Return of the Gods. That's a reference to ancient gods. These gods represent the greater evil. They were prevalent in Canaan. The Lord had many reasons for commanding the people, his people Israel, to separate from the Canaanites. The prevalence of these gods was the main reason. But since Israel failed to separate from the nations, they made themselves susceptible to the influence of these gods. Look at how Moses put it in Numbers 33, starting in verse 55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come about that those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and as thorns in your sides, and they will trouble you in the land in which you live. The influence of these gods in the people of Israel brought about the destruction of the nation. But how does all that apply in the case of America today? Well, because America didn't learn from the past, our nation followed suit. Our nation became susceptible to these very same gods. Instead of establishing guidelines that would neutralize their influence, weak leadership created policies that fueled their fire. As a result, America is like the man with the unclean spirit. If you're in Matthew 12, look at verse 43. Verse 43, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places and seeking rest, it does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. This is the way it will also be with this evil generation. The conditions described in this passage can occur in several ways. But one involves establishing reforms to fix the problems that are occurring within. Such reforms might look good to the untrained eye. Not long ago, I heard something about Kamala Harris wanting to increase the minimum wage. Looks good on the outside. But what people don't realize is that in the long run, it causes more problems. Today, there's a lot of talk about getting rid of hate. Looks good on the surface, but there's an evil behind it that has a much greater strategy in mind. Such policies are designed to clean up the house, so to speak. but they don't get at the heart of the real problem, thus leaving the door open for the return of the unclean spirit. When it returns, it's accompanied by spirits worse than itself. And as it is today, the last state is worse than the first. Many of us know the story of King Saul. King Saul had an endowment from the Holy Spirit. He had everything he needed to experience success in the task that he was given, but he failed. So when David was anointed and the Holy Spirit came upon David and left Saul, look at what happened in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. The problem with Israel in the Old Testament and America today is the same as the problem with Saul. Both nations turned their backs on God, resulting in faithlessness and disobedience. Faithlessness and disobedience leaves people and nations subject to demons. Please go to 1 Kings 22. We're going somewhere with this. Now, most of us know something about the character of King Ahab, another of the kings of the northern kingdom, all of which were characterized as faithless and disobedient. In order to regain some lost territory, Ahab initiated a campaign against Aram, but he asked Jehoshaphat to assist him. Jehoshaphat was willing to help, but first he wanted the assurance of a prophet's words from the Lord. There was only one prophet of the Lord available, but Ahab didn't want to have anything to do with him. Instead, he consulted 400 false prophets. They gave him the go, and Micaiah, the true prophet, was instructed to agree with them. Micaiah, however, refused. But look at what he said instead in 1 Kings 22, starting in verse 19. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. The Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Now note that because Ahab rejected the words of the true prophet, God allowed a spirit to act as a deceiving spirit to deceive the 400 false prophets. In their deception, they told Ahab he would be victorious in warfare against Aram, but that was not to be. And in the end, Ahab was killed in battle. Why did it happen? Because Ahab put no faith in God's words through the true prophet. He set himself up to be influenced by a deceiving spirit, and deception led to his fall. Faithlessness and disobedience led to the destruction of Israel, King Saul and Ahab, and the same conditions are in place today. Our nation has been turning away from God for several decades. That establishes the potential for demon influence. But to reiterate the question, where did it all begin? It began at the source. It began in eternity past with the greatest of all demons who thought he could become like God. Now there are many demons and they go by different names. There's Abaddon or Apollyon in the Greek. Then there's Baal, Ishtar, and Moloch, which we studied in the past. There's also Adramelech, Legion, Beelzebul, Asmodeus, Mephistopheles. The book of Daniel speaks of two high-ranking angels who fought against the angel who was assigned to deliver the message to Daniel. But they're all under the leadership of one. He's a demon angel who goes by many names, some of which include Serpent, Prince of Darkness, Father of Lies, Star of the Morning, Tempter, Accuser, Murderer, Prince of the Power of the Air. But we know him as Satan. Satan is the prince of evil spirits, the adversary to God. Satan is the instigator of everything that opposes God. Spiritual warfare exists because Satan sponsors warfare. The Apostle Paul made that clear in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavens. At the head of these rulers, powers, and world forces of darkness is Satan. The answer to the question, where did it all begin, is it all began with Satan. In eternity past, Satan had a thought. Satan said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. From that thought, an endless barrage of deception poured forth in the form of opposition to God, God's plan, and God's purpose. God created the heavens and the earth. Why? As a place for man to grow and prosper and execute God's plan. Satan attempted to destroy God's plan by causing the fall. From that thought, persecution poured forth against God's people. Thus, the title of our session this morning, Out of the Mouth of the Dragon. It reflects what Jesus said in John 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand on the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That phrase, father of lies, speaks of Satan's nature. Satan is a liar by nature, a liar by trade. There is no truth in him. Out of his mouth pours lies. Scripture portrays Satan as a dragon because he's powerful, terrifying, capable of destruction. But who is Satan and from where did he originate? Satan is an angel created by God in wisdom, beauty, and perfection. In Ezekiel 28, we're given a description of Satan. He was clothed and adorned with every precious stone. He was the anointed cherub who served in the throne room of God, blameless in all his ways from the days of creation. But something went wrong. We noted it earlier. Satan had a thought. That thought led to rebellion. Satan rebelled against God. But since Satan is no match for the power of God, he had to find another way to attack God. So he did so by attacking God's people. His first attack in history appeared in the words, "Has God said?" And he achieved his objective. He deceived the woman into eating the fruit. She ate it and gave it to her husband, and he ate, thus resulting in the fall. But the question, "Has God said?" has poured out of the mouth of the dragon in every generation since then. Has God really said that people are not to worship anyone or anything other than God? Has God really said we have to humble ourselves and worship Him and Him alone? Has God really said we can't have it all? Has God really said not to store up riches in this life, not to provide for ourselves and our families, not to strive for the very best that the world has to offer, and to live life luxuriously? Since God is love, why do we have to limit our love to one member of the opposite sex in marriage? God says a lot of things, but much of what God says really puts a damper on life, doesn't it? Satan is a genius. He knows how to twist what God says in order to get people to think God's cheating them out of something better. In the same way, Satan caused Eve to see that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Satan causes people to think the things that will harm us in the end are not all that harmful. But in the end, like the rich man who tore down his barns to build bigger ones, to store all of his riches, to live life leisurely, when we allow Satan to get us to question what God said, we run the risk of reaping negative consequences. Satan's policy is evil. The list of events we described earlier in the session that are occurring throughout the world today are evil. They are designed to destroy. These events did not originate with man. These events are the repercussions of what has poured out of the mouth of the dragon. The attack on the Ukraine and the events that are taking place in the Middle East are satanically sponsored and demonically influenced. It all originates from the great mastermind, the evil one. Satan is the universe's public enemy, number one, the chief opponent of God and God's people, and the leader of uncounted demonic forces. The opposition they impose is not limited by time or restricted to certain areas. This opposition is widespread and up and running 24/7. It falls under the category lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness has been running throughout human history. It appears in many forms, but every one of them reeks of opposition to God. We've seen examples of it throughout the entire canon of Scripture. Some of you might recall the name Athaliah. Athaliah was queen of Judah from 841 to 835 BC. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and every bit as evil. After the death of Ahaziah, her son, Athaliah seized the opportunity to take the throne by having all of Ahaziah's sons killed. Now that would eradicate the entire line of David, which led to the birth of Jesus Christ. But God preserved one member of the line. But the point here is this. This evil plan didn't originate with Athaliah. It was satanically sponsored. It was Satan's attempt to prevent the humanity of Jesus Christ being born to Mary in the line of David. And after the birth of Jesus, Herod ordered the murders of countless numbers of babies, 2 years and under, around in the vicinity of Bethlehem. Was it because he was troubled about the birth of a king? Maybe. But I believe Herod was also influenced by Satan. You ever stop to consider why some of those thoughts that go through your mind actually go through your mind? We all have negative thoughts from time to time, but I believe that at least some of them, if not more than some of those negative thoughts, have a direct connection to demon influence. And it establishes the potential for lawlessness. Lawlessness is the reason for the conditions that exist today. And it will continue to exist in greater proportions after the rapture of the church. Please go to Revelation 12. Since Satan couldn't prevent the birth of Jesus from occurring, at some point in the future, he's going to turn his attention to the Jewish people. At the midpoint of the tribulation, the hell that already exists will intensify above and beyond our wildest imaginations. In Revelation 12, two signs appear. The great sign that appears is in verse 1 is the woman who represents Israel. The second sign that appears in verse 3 is a great red dragon, that's Satan. Since Satan couldn't prevent the birth of Jesus, his next objective is to destroy the Jewish people. The rest of the chapter supports this point. In Revelation 12, look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This passage describes a future event. The war in heaven will result in Satan's second fall. Satan will be kicked out of heaven. The only means of him returning, in his thinking, is to destroy God's people. The following events are introduced by the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which occurred in chapter 11. Sounding of the seventh trumpet announces the coming coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The results appear starting in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. At this point, the harsh reality of having little time will become glaringly obvious to Satan. It won't be long before he'll be bound and cast into the abyss. Therefore, he will stop at nothing. Persecution of God's people will reach an all-time high, thus the phrase, woe to the earth and the sea. Earlier in the session, we touched on the wave of anti-Semitism that spread so rapidly throughout our nation in recent months. Now, due to this evil that's come right from the pit of hell, many Jews have been put to death in the past. That practice will continue in the tribulation. Look at how John alluded to it in verse 15. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. I believe that the wave of anti-Semitism that exists today, and to a much greater extent in the future, is a flood of evil propaganda employed by Satan to turn people against the Jews. This flood of propaganda obviously serves Satan's purpose, as is seen on certain college campuses. But it's just a prelude of what's going to take place in the tribulation. In chapter 13, the beast will appear on the scene. The beast is the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, who will rise to power through the nations of the world at some point after the rapture of the church. He'll be empowered by Satan, and he'll employ many of the tactics Satan used in the past. Note how the earth dwellers will respond to him in Revelation 13. Look at verse 3. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Note the phrase, he opened his mouth, and what poured out? Blasphemies. Blasphemies against God and heaven. How will those who dwell on the earth respond? Look at verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Who will those who dwell on the earth worship? Why will they worship the dragon and the beast? Because in many cases they already rejected God's word. And as a result, they'll buy into what comes out of the mouth. Same point applies in the case of the false prophet. In Revelation 13, look at verse 12. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he makes even fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. Anybody with any discernment can see these things unfolding today. Today, Satan's using the attacks launched against Israel and Israel's stance on maintaining what rightly belongs to Israel, according to the Bible, against Israel. And many people are buying into it. Why? Because they don't know the truth. And not knowing the truth, they fall for the lie. In Ephesians 4, Paul called it tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. these false doctrines are like winds that blow through certain areas at specific times, designed to deceive and destroy. Deception is Satan's strategy, but destruction is every bit as much Satan's strategy as deception. He'll use anyone to achieve his objective, and then he'll spit them out and cast them aside. After Judas realized the magnitude of his sin in betraying Jesus, he went out and hanged himself. Ironically, Satan wasn't there to give him any help or offer him anything that would appease his grief. Today there are people across the planet buying into Satan's strategies. But when the day of reckoning comes, Satan won't be there for them either. Satan doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't care about people. People are nothing more than pawns in his evil game. He has no sense of morality. Nothing good dwells in him, and he'll stop at nothing to destroy God's people today and in the future. Oftentimes, Satan's words are his instrument of destruction. But in every generation of Jewish history, God preserved a remnant. And that'll be the case in the future as well. Look at verse 16. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. Principle. The earth has swallowed up people in the past who bought into Pharaoh and his army pursued God's people in the sea. We're told in Exodus 15, verse 12, you stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In Numbers 16, when we saw the earth swallowed up Korah and those who participated in his rebellion, Peter stated it clearly when he said, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. God is not limited by time, space, or circumstances. God can use any means or no means at all to protect his people in the midst of judgment. Before the Exodus, Egypt was blasted with 10 plagues, but not one of them affected the Jewish people at that time. In the midst of a 3.5-year drought and famine that was imposed on the northern kingdom, God had provided for Elijah, the widow, and her son. People of Israel spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon, but God was able to bring back 50,000 of them back to the land to rebuild the temple. Mankind came into this world dead in his sins and trespasses, and there was no means of solving the problem, but God solved the problem through his son. What is that problem that you and I are faced with today or in the future? God already solved it in eternity past. Today we are hearing of wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Wars are being fought in the Ukraine, in the Middle East. We alluded to it earlier. Could these mark the beginning of a much greater campaign that'll involve the entire world? Evil nations laying claim to what belongs to Israel. Every nation wants a piece of the pie, so to speak. The wheels have been set in motion for some time now, but all this planning and scheming didn't originate from man. All evil originates from the evil one, and he's a genius at getting men to do his bidding. Along with the beast and the false prophet, Satan will use spirits of demons to bring the nations of the world together at a place called Armageddon. In Revelation 16, look at verse 13. Revelation 16, 13. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. One of the phrases I heard, and some of you probably heard it said as well, is the phrase free thinker. I am a free thinker. My friends and I, we're free thinkers. You know where true freedom exists? True freedom does not exist in independence. True freedom exists in obedience. The leaders of these nations might think they're independent. They might think they're free thinkers. But the fact of the matter is they're pawns in Satan's game. They're buying into Satan's strategy, which came in the form of a message from the mouth of Satan, the mouth of the beast, the mouth of the false prophet, delivered through the agency of spirits of demons. The message is designed to gather them together for war. The final war was to be waged, final war to be waged this side of human history. But I don't believe that any of this is new. I believe that messages have gone out from the mouth of the dragon to the leaders of nations throughout a good part of human history. I believe that the rapid spread of evil over the last 5 or 6 years has a direct connection to what has gone out of the mouth of the dragon. But I also believe something else as well. I believe, and I know, God has it all under control. Satan thinks he's running the show, but Satan is nothing more than a mere pawn in the hands of our great God. We noted some examples earlier in the session. It was God who brought Babylon against Hezekiah in 701 BC. It was God who brought the Babylonians against Jerusalem in 586 BC. It was God who brought the Romans against Jerusalem in 70 AD. We would do well to keep in mind the fact that God has everything under control. It's obvious in looking at the world today that there's a lot that comes out of the mouth of the dragon. But we don't live according to what comes out of the mouth of Satan. We live by what Jesus tells us. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that makes all the difference. Let's close. Thank you, Father, for your precious words. Empower us, Father, especially now, at this time, in this age, at this late stage of the dispensation, to pay much more attention to your words, to do everything that we can to stay as close to you as we possibly can, in learning, in growing, in conducting ourselves in this world, in raising and teaching our children, in all that you give us to do. Empower us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.